Heyada Aleph, Wednesday the 5th of February, Rabbi Yohanan Geffen, Geneva Stars.
Yeah, so the topic is Geneva Stars. So this is probably a term that most of us are familiar with. Geneva Stars, stealing the mind. But what exactly does it mean? What does it involve? What prohibition is it? And how does it come about in our daily lives? So one law of Geneva Stars is you quote something that you heard from someone else. A lot of this year is based on my Rosh Kollel Yitzhak Berkovitz. So even though there's a mitzvah to quote someone, B'Shem Omro, but even if you don't have to say his name, if you think people think it's from you, then that can be a Geneva Star. That's our first lesson. The Gemara in Chulin, Sadik Gimel and Sadik Dalet, goes into what Geneva Stars is. It gives a few scenarios. And it starts with a very interesting case. And it says, if you have a piece of meat and it's cut, and it looks as if the Gid Hanasha has been removed, but really it hasn't, right? And so a Jew can't eat it, a non-Jew can eat it. So it says you shouldn't give it to a non-Jew, you shouldn't give this piece of meat to a non-Jew, letting him think that because it looks like the Gid has been removed, because he thinks, oh, this is a perfectly good piece of meat for a Jew, and yet you're giving it to me, and that's very nice of you. You know, it's not something, you know, it's something you could perfectly well eat, and you're giving it to me. And the Gemara says that is forbidden to a non-Jew. So the first very important chiddush we see in Geneva Stars is it's even forbidden to non-Jews. You have to understand a little bit later, because many mitzvahs, interpersonal relationship, but I'm the chavera, even though it's always good to treat everyone well, but they don't always apply to non-Jews, yet Geneva Stars does. So that's one thing we already have to understand. Why is it forbidden? So Rashi says a lush in there, the nimsa machzik lo tov v'chinam, that it comes out that he's going to have appreciation for you. He thinks he owes you something when he doesn't really. Really, you gave him something you couldn't eat anyway. He thought you could eat it, and therefore, what are you stealing? It sounds like from Rashi. You're stealing nothing tangible, but you're stealing the fact that he owes you something. That's what the Gemara starts. Then the Gemara brings some brises from Tanaim. We'll give other examples. Rabbi Meir says, you should not persistently invite someone to eat at your house if you know he's not going to come. I mean, you don't intend for him to come, you don't care. But, you know, you're inviting him persistently. He says you should not do that. Because, again, he's going to think, you know, what a nice guy. And really, you know, you're just doing it, you know, he feels he owes you a karas hatov.
People do that for chasen
invitations. Yeah, good. We're going to get to that. Very good. Very good, yeah. Right. So also similarly, offering him gifts and things, offering things you know he's going to say no, and you have no intention of giving it, then that's also forbidden. Another case, it says, is people used to have barrels of wine. And once you open that barrel, it can't last very long. So if you had barrels that already were ready, they were sold, and they were going to be opened anyway, and you have a person comes in, and you open the barrel for him. He thinks you open it just for him, and now it's going to go off soon. But really, you would have opened it anyway. That's another example where the Gemara says that is Geneva Stars. Because again, he thinks you did it for him, but really you didn't. Right. So they're the cases. We're going to have to see that there's also heterium, there's exceptions to the rule. But they're the main cases that the Gemara brings. Now the first question in the Rishonim is, why is this us? What prohibition is it? And is it Nisa Derais or Nisa Derabanan? So, from some Rishonim, the Ritva, the Smug, it sounds like it's actually Gneva. The Ritva says it from Nosig Novu, and it sounds like it's even Nisa Derais. It may be Kiddush, because Gneva, we know, is stealing something that is tangible. And again, you're not stealing anything tangible, but you're stealing the fact that he feels he owes you something. Even if he's not giving you anything, but he feels he owes you something, that would seem to be a kind of stealing. From others, it's much more that it's a asmachta, an isadurabanan of stealing. And the other option could be that it's just a kind of a sheker, it's a kind of just being dishonest. From the Rambam, some achronim want to learn that there's two levels. There can be a Geneva Stars which can have a monetary effect. If you sell something to somebody and you know it has something wrong with it and you don't tell him, so that's a monetary loss, that is Geneva Derais. That's a monetary Geneva, that could be. Whereas if you just trick him where there's no monetary loss directly, where he just thinks he owes you something, then that would be Derabanan. That's how Shulchan Aruch Rav comes out, that when there's a monetary loss is a Derais, so when it's not, it's a Derabanan. One application of this, asked my Rosh Kollel, cheating in tests. If someone cheats in a test in school, There's no monetary gain, just that the teacher thinks you're cleverer than you are, you worked harder, or they'll like you more, then that would be a kind of a, maybe a derabanan kind of Ganeva's das, where it's still asa because they feel they owe you something. Whereas if someone cheats in, to get into university or to get a job, that could well be Ganeva derisa, because that is taking away something, you know, that affects them monetarily. So that's the basic idea of the Chiddush, what Ganeva's das is. It's taking the fact that he feels he owes you something. And that's where it can be different from Sheker. I grappled a lot. We know we have, I spoke a couple of years ago, about Medavar Sheker Tirchak. It's forbidden to lie, and the two definitely do overlap. But even it can be forbidden to lie, even where he doesn't necessarily get any benefit, you don't get any benefit, he feels he owes you something, is being deceitful. Whereas Ganeva's das is in particular where you actually stand to gain. On the other hand, also there can be Ganeva's das where there's no Sheker, where sometimes even, you know, Ganeva's das, you might not deliberately be meaning to trick him, but if he thinks that you did something for him when you didn't, you just keep quiet about it, and may not be Sheker, but that could still be Ganeva's das, because you're allowing him to feel he owes you something. And so we're going to get to now some of the cases, and then we're going to get to some heterim. So you mentioned the wedding. So one aspect of a wedding is, I'll tell you some cases that we've all probably experienced in our lives. Let's say, especially in Israel where I live, you go to some wedding halls and there's like two wedding halls next to each other. And let's say you go for one of the people, and this other wedding is someone that you wouldn't have gone to their wedding. But seeing as you're here, you'll pop in over there. So they go, oh wow, so nice of you to come. But you wouldn't really have come. So the question is, now there's a big kasha in this Ganeva stuff. So what do? You come, you know what, I didn't really come for you, I only came, it's not very nice, right? It's actually mashma from the Gemara that even in such a case where it could hurt the feelings, you still can't be going at das. So we have to think, how, is there any way of getting out of that? So that we'll come to in a moment. Similarly, if you go to a hospital to visit someone and there's someone else, again, you would not have visited, but they have a right to think that you came for them, that could also constitute Ganeva's das, and all these kind of events.
Even though they might be upset.
Right, so obviously we've got to think of a way to do it and you weren't upset. So here comes to the first major heter, the most leniency that you see. And that is, so the Gemara carries on in Chulin. First it says, so we said about the meat when you've cut it up. Secondly it says, you want to cut meat in a market, and even if it's not kosher, and a non-Jew might come. So the Gemara says, maybe you have to announce it's not kosher. You should, it's a normal piece of meat. Maybe you should announce that it's not kosher, because otherwise a non-Jew will think that it's kosher. And again, you're being such a nice guy, you're giving it to him cheap or whatever. The Gemara says, you don't have to tell him why. He has a lashon, ihu mati anafshi. He is tricking himself. What does that mean? It means that there's only Ganeva's das where he had a right to be tricked. It's understandable to think that, with the case of the Gid Anasha, when it was cut, it looks like the Gid's not there, so that's reasonable for him to expect that it was. But some piece of meat, who said it's kosher, who said it's not kosher, that's his problem. He's tricking himself to think that. And then the Gemara has a story, and the Gemara says that Marzutra was walking, he went out to go somewhere, and as he went out, he bumped into Rava and Rav Safra. He was older than them, he was more senior, and he thought that they had come to greet him. He was on the way in, he thought they had come to greet him, when really they hadn't. They didn't know he was coming, they just bumped into him. So he said, wow, it was so nice of you to come. So Rav Safra said, I'm sorry, actually, we didn't know you were coming, but had we known you were coming, we would have come to greet you. But we didn't, so, sorry. So Rava says, what are you doing? That's not nice. Why are you telling him that? That's achlish daito. That will make him feel upset. That will make him feel down. So Rav Safra, so Rava said back, no, ihu dekar not mati anaf shayu. He is tricking himself. Meaning, it's not bad, nothing bad. It just means, why should he expect them to come to visit? As you say, mechatesi, why should he think that they came? It's chash of a person, but it was reasonable to think that they just bumped into him. So there we see a very major heter. Any time, you have to work it out, any time where it's reasonable to think that the person the person should realise that you're not really...
Was it true?
Hmm?
When he said the Buddha can have been...
Yeah, that was also true. That was true. So that's... Good. So that's a big question, because that's going to be another possible heta. The problem is, in his Gemara, it wasn't good enough. That wasn't... He still told him. What? Why couldn't he say it, or why...
Why did
you
say that?
Sorry?
Because it didn't. The first thing to the
Thomas,
why did God say that?
Yeah.
So, why not?
Right, because it doesn't make him feel bad, you mean?
Yeah, we didn't know you were coming. Of course we didn't come.
Fine. The Ravatet felt it was still a little bit hurt his feelings to say that. The question is, that may be one of the Hetaim, but if you would have done it anyway, maybe. Okay, so we have this Heta of Ihu Matiya Nafshayu. He's tricking himself. So I'll give many examples I've had. And this is cases, number one, where you shouldn't tell someone if you have no reason to think. I live in Ramat Beit Shemesh. My kollel's in Yerushalayim. I made a bris many years ago in Sukkos. And there was someone, you know, not that many people came because of Sukkos. It was far, Yerushalayim to Beit Shemesh is quite far. And I remember one of the guys who is someone I was, a medium level friend. And I didn't expect him to come. He didn't come. And after he said, sorry, I couldn't come. But I wouldn't have come anyway. it didn't upset me that much. But the point is, he didn't need to say that. It was unnecessary. Because unless I'm someone that thinks I'm the most popular guy in the world, why should I think that someone that is like a medium level friend will come 1 hour drive to my bits? That's my problem. If I think he would have come, then he doesn't need to say that. He shouldn't directly say, I really would have come. He shouldn't lie. But he doesn't need to go and say the truth, when the truth will be helpful. Similarly, so we talked about the problem with the wedding. So my Rav said an interesting thing. He went, it was slightly difficult, he went to a wedding where he knew both sides, but he only came for one of the sides. Right? One side he was very close with, the other side he was mediocrely close, and he told me he wouldn't have come for them. So when the father of that side saw him, so he's thinking, okay, and that's fairly reasonable because they have a certain level of connection. So he didn't say, I didn't come for you, I came for the other guy. But what he said was, the man said, so nice of you to come. So my Rav said, yes, I also know the other side very well. Right. So what was he doing? He wasn't saying, I didn't come for you. He was saying, I also know the other side very well. At that point, he made it into a Ihu Kamati Nafshayu. He made it into, now you've got to be, if you want to think whatever you want to think that I came for you, fine. But really now it's obvious, you should, it's logical to realise that really I came for the other person. So that's one way of not necessarily hurting someone's feelings, but by getting it to a point where they could, if they would think about that, then they would realise.
What you say, you can't feel and you can't make somebody feel good.
Why? What do you mean? If it's not true, if it's not true, it's not fair. Making them feel good means they feel they owe you something, and they don't. Why should they owe you something? If it's not true, it's that you're deceiving them. It's a dark shalom, but again, if it's something you would have done, it could be allowed. you make something feel good if you would have done it. If you wouldn't have done it, then
it's a mitzvah to be nice to somebody.
It is.
It's not a lie. I happen to be
So we'll talk after. Okay, fine. Give you a couple of other examples. So I send out Divrei Torah on the internet, and there's something called Constant Contact. It's one of these things where it says the name of the person. And I said it's 1,000 people, but it says Dear Jonathan, Dear David, right? So every now and again, I get people seem to think I send them an individual email. I didn't. I say, I hope you are well. So a couple of times they're like, thank you for, thank you, I am well. So I asked my mom, do I have to tell them, with all due respect, it's a mass email, I didn't send it to you. So he said, no. That's, again, in this generation, you should realise by now, also it looks different, that's Ihu Kamati Nafshayu. That's something that, we should know, that this is a common thing, and you don't have to go, and, obviously, if you're going to let them think that, if they're thinking that, and that's they thought that because of themselves, and that's fine, then you don't have to say. Said you don't have to say. One other example, the personal example we had, is also, like I said, I write Divrei Torah, and my brother's an editor. A friend of mine, who's a Rav in America, wanted to use an editor. So I'm talking about my brother. So he thought that my brother edited my Divrei Torah. He actually hadn't. I don't know how well written it is, but he thought it was my Divrei Torah well written. And he thought my brother had edited it. So he emailed my brother. I didn't say anything. He hadn't. So he emailed my brother and he said, you know, you did a really good job on your brother's Divrei Torah. And this could be a monetary benefit as well. That's more of a question. I think he would have employed him anyway. So because I think he would have used him anyway, I told my brother, you don't have to tell him. Because you know, why should he think that? There was no reason for him to necessarily think that. He thought that himself. So that's Iyu Kamati Nafshai. He is tricking himself again. So that is something that, you know, each time you have to work out. So if you're in a hospital and you go to someone close, and you see someone that, you know, you're not that close with, then it's pretty obvious they should know you didn't come to visit them. You don't have to say anything at all. Because that's Iyu Kamati Nafshai. That is, they are tricking themselves. Right? So that's any case. Again, but if it's a case where they had a right to expect you would come, or they're close with you, then they can think that. So any time where you go out of your way somewhere far, and there's someone else nearby, then they should have realised that it's probably you in the area, or you're coming anyway. Is that clear?
You cannot make a compliment to anybody.
Why can't you compliment? Why can't you compliment? I didn't see anywhere from here you can't compliment anyone. And anyway, we get to another. Another heter is Mishum Kvoda, is for the kavod of somebody, is to give them a certain level of honour is allowed. So the Achronim Madaik, when I mentioned you shouldn't invite someone persistently for a meal, but you can invite them once, even though you know they're going to say no, because that is like for their cover, that makes them feel good. There's certainly nothing wrong with praising somebody. Talked about it more in Sheker, you know, often, you know, if people normally understand that, you know, we don't always 100% mean what we say anyway, but it's sometimes. Although we saw then that sometimes it's mutter, sheker is mutter mifnei shalom, it's mutter in some place obligated to lie. There is definitely, I want to get people to misunderstand, there's definitely no mitzvah to like tell people, you know, yeah, you know, that's terrible, you look terrible, the honest truth, but that we don't believe in. That's a separate topic, I'm happy to talk about more or talk another time again, but this is slightly different. This is having them think they owe you something. This is Geneva's dots. Okay, and the one other hetzer which is discussed, it's a machlokas, but it seems like we hold of it, is if you would have done it anyway. In the case of Ullah, there was a case where they opened the wine, and they would have done it anyway, and they let Ullah believe they did it for him, and the Gemara explains that was allowed because they would have done it for him. They would have done it anyway. It's a contradiction to the other Gemara with Marzukha, where he would have come anyway, and yet he still told him. That's a bit of why it's a machlokas. But the Maisel people say it's something you would have done. It's an interesting question. I'm not saying to do this, but if you would have bought your wife like a really nice piece of jewelry, you know, but you bought a cheaper one that looks the same, could you say, oh well, I would have got her that, so let her think it's that. I wouldn't do that. She'd probably get in trouble. But you know, that kind of thing where it's something, again, you shouldn't be deliberately deceiving them, but it's something you would have done for them if you would have come. If you would have come, you shouldn't do that. But if you would have come to something where you would have done it, you just happened to be that you couldn't do it, then that would also be allowed. So just to summarise the halachic aspect, the halachic part of it. So again, so there's a prohibition of gneivas das, and this is not to not be nice to people, not to make people feel good. The prohibition is to make them think, or let them think, that you did something good for them when you didn't. That is the prohibition. Now, and again, even then, there are times where that it doesn't apply, and that is when Iyu Kamati Nafshai, when they are tricking themselves, when it was reasonable for them to, they should have realised, then you don't have to, or if it's for their cover in certain cases, or you would have done it anyway. And certainly, even in a case where you feel you have to be honest, obviously we work out a way to do it that isn't hurtful, obviously. That is definitely true.
And is that not an invitation with a dinner card, knowing the guy's not going to come?
That's a good question. The chore of that is probably Mishum Kvodo. I mean, if you're banking on him not coming?
The guy's in America, and Enneka's not going to come. Sending
right. But why are you sending it? Why are you sending it? For his honour? You're sending it for... People send it to the Bonham. People, yeah, that's okay. You do, if you're doing it so you think he owes me one now, then that might be a problem. But if you're doing it for his honour, Mishum Kvod, that's a good example. Well, you're doing it, Mishum Kvod, for his honour, even though, you know...
If he was in town, would you still invite him?
Yeah. If he was in town, would you still invite him? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I just want to end a little bit with the Hashkafic aspect and to help answer the question we asked of why it's even forbidden with the non-Jews. It's actually a vote on the Parsha, on this week's Parsha. There's a lot of symbolism of the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, and two of the things he wears is the Me'il and the Ketoros. He wears the Me'il and there's a Ketoros in the Mishkan. The Gemon Erechin talks about them, it says they're both Keneged Loshon Hara. They're both kapara for Loshon Hara. So Gemara says, why do you need two? Why do you need two things for Loshon Hara? So Gemara says the Me'il is it has bells, and it makes a noise. That's for loud Loshon Hara. Whereas the Ketoros is for quiet Loshon Hara. What does that mean? So loud Loshon Hara is when you do it in front of the person, and that's obviously very upsetting. And the Ketoros is for quiet Loshon Hara when you do it behind his back. So still the question remains, why do you need both? You have one thing for both Loshon Hara. So you see from here, there's two different negative aspects that both of these have, one worse than the other. Obviously, speaking Loshon Hara in front of somebody is very embarrassing, and that needs its own kapara. But speaking behind their back, in a certain way, is also very bad. In a certain way, may even be worse. Because, number one, because the person doesn't know. He doesn't know, you're being two-faced to him, you're being two-faced, and the person doesn't know. And in fact, the Gemara says, a shevach of the praise of the brothers, Yosef's brothers. Yosef's brothers didn't like him. And they couldn't speak nice to him, because that would have been a kind of a Geneva's daf. So that would have been pretending I like somebody, pretending I'm nice to them, and behind their back I'm not, I don't like them. That would be a kind of Geneva's daf. And the Chofetz Chaim takes this further. He says, it's also, that we know there's a mitzvah, lo sisna esachicha b'vavecha, don't hate your friend in your heart. So the normal understanding is don't keep it quiet, you should speak it out. Chofetz Chaim says it's even if you hate the guy and you tell other people you hate the guy and you don't tell him, you're with him, you're his good friend, but behind his back you're telling other people. That's also Loshon Hara, obviously, but it's also Loshon Hara. It doesn't only mean in yourself, it means keeping it away from him. And Lachoy, that's also kind of a Geneva's das, because you're acting in a nice way, you're friendly to him, and he thinks that he's my good friend, whereas really you're treating him in a very bad way. So number one, he's getting, like, when someone has people, suddenly people don't like him, he doesn't know why, that's very, very bad. But also, my Rosh Kolo says that it's the middle, it's a character trait. The character trait of being sneaky, of being, two-faced, is an extremely negative character trait. And this is really, the Minchas Chinuch seems to say, this is why Geneva's Das, it can actually be so bad that many other Ben and Chavar mitzvahs don't apply with non-Jews, but this does. The Ikka Gemara, the first Gemara, is with a non-Jew. Because it's such a bad middah of being two-faced, such a bad trait of being sneaky, that therefore it's even forbidden to do with a non-Jew. Because to get into such a habit of being two-faced, of not being honest with somebody, is extremely bad. So we see, this idea of Geneva's Das, obviously is the Ben and Chavar of treating people well and not making people think they owe you something when they don't. But it's also the Ben Adam La'atzma between man and himself, of being honest with yourself, of being honest with other people and having that trait. Because L'chura, it's also so serious, because if you can't be honest if we're sneaky around other people, then how much can we be honest with ourselves in relationship with Hashem? So that's the basics of Geneva's. Go ahead.